You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
It is hot as the dickens, so today dress lightly and have a safe day out there in the world. Our friend Bill Jones coming up, Ask Lawyer Bill, after a few breaks. The emails can be sent in to him or for him now. Mail at drakeinthemorning.com. And we'll chat with him on the phone, too, 535-9898. In the world of sport, the baseball men are playing down to there are 11 days left in the season, and that's it. And so every game means something to some people. Many of these divisions are already done. The Red Sox, Yankees, Sox haven't clinched, but they're close. The Yankees are three games out behind them. And the Indians have already clinched, as have the Astros. The Twins are in the wild card race along with the Yankees. So that one, it's really hard to keep track of all this if you don't pay attention and listen. But it'll all come out in the wash. In the National League, the East, the Nationals have already won that division. The Cubs have a 3.5-game lead over the Brewers. And so the Brewers and Diamondbacks are a game and a half or two games behind the Cubs for that wild card. The Cardinals are three games behind, I believe. Anyway, the wild card teams in play in the NL are the Brewers, the Diamondbacks, and the Cardinals, unless the Cubs were to have some kind of a swoon and fade here at the end and choke and not win that division. So with 11 days left, that probably means 9-10 games each, and anything could happen because it's baseball. And somebody could get hot, and somebody could, pass the Cubs. The Cardinals could get hot. The Brewers might get hot. But at this point, let's see. The Cubs have won 84 games, Brewers 81, Cardinals 79. Winningest team in baseball this year has been the Indians, 95 games. They have won, I think, 27 of 28 games. So they're going into this really, really strong, as they did last year when they were in the World Series and lost in a remarkable Game 7 to the Cubs, as you might remember. So we're back to that time of year again, too. I heard, I believe, that the NBA teams began some unofficial camps next week, so all this is happening at once. In the football world, tonight, I don't know how long these networks and the NFL can continue to dish out this swill that they put on television. Tonight, the game is the LA Rams, who are, well, they had a good opening week, but it's a really average football team, against the horrible San Francisco 49ers. They're just awful. They have not scored a touchdown in two games, nor have the Bengals. It's just a really, really funky year. But the Rams and Niners tonight, really, that's the Thursday night game. Unless you're a gambler or a real avid, devoted fan of those teams, you just don't care and likely won't watch it. Tonight, there's some college action on TV. If you can call this action, I mean, it is football. You'll have Temple tonight at South Florida and something else. It doesn't really even matter. There's some golf on it. There's baseball. The games that matter include Cardinals at the Reds tonight, MLB at 6 p.m., and the Twins are still playing, I believe, for something maybe in Detroit. So that stuff is on tonight. There was a really ugly moment, a scary moment last night. I'm surprised this doesn't happen in more baseball parks. Many of us have been to baseball games in the big leagues. And when you get, good seats and you sit on the first base line or the third base line, you got to tell your wife or your kids and yourself to watch the game, watch the batter. Because in most ballparks, there isn't a screen or anything to block an errant foul ball from hitting you in the head and hurting you. I think that on most every MLB ticket, there's a disclaimer that says that any injury obtained by flying bats or balls is not their problem and blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure how that works, but I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. If you watch TV, you'll watch the video last night. The Yankees-Twins game in New York was delayed when a four-year-old girl was hit by a foul ball and play stopped. The most touching, I think, and this little girl is going to be okay. She was hit in the face, and she was bloody. The reaction of the Yankees, who were on the field, was somehow very, very touching. They were all almost in tears. They were on their knees. They were praying. They looked completely flipped out at this child, and they probably all have small children, but they looked, just, mortified by this kid being hit by the foul ball. This happens all the time, and you've got to watch what's going on because, one of these line drives that ends up in the stands could end up in your face. And so now this will ignite a discussion of what to do. Some of these teams run that, netting all the way down the lines. Some don't, but they're going to have to do something like hockey does and put up some kind of glass or something that will deflect these balls because it's going to end up killing somebody, and that's going to be a drag. Oh, the rest of this stuff is a bunch of inside sports junk that no one cares about. The other big story was the passing of Jake LaMotta, 95 years old. He was the man best known for inspiring Raging Bull. Jake was, he was a great fighter back in the day, 1941 to 1954, 83 wins in his career and 30 knockouts, and was immortalized in film by Robert De Niro in Raging Bull. Excuse me. So his passing in the news. The baseball games last night that have an impact on the wild card races. Yankees beat the Twins. Let's see. Boston beat Baltimore. That's good for the Red Sox. Cardinals won. That's good. Cubs lost. That's bad for them. And beyond that, the Indians won again. Diamondbacks won. That's good for them. So those are the basics of this. And tonight, this horrible football is on TV. And we'll run down the college football list tomorrow. Email address here for Lawyer Bill or anything else is mail at drakeinthemorning.com.
And we've gotten a couple for Bill in already. This one came in last night from Bob. It says, I am an 80% disabled military retiree, having served over 23 years on active duty. I've had numerous occasions to visit the Memphis DA, and I've just read the article about Deputy Director Chaos, and believe the initial assessment is wrong. There's no excuse for some of the documented negligence and medical malpractice within the VA, but I think there's more to the story. Perhaps this bully is exactly what the VA needs. On the one hand, we say the Memphis VA is completely incompetent, but then jump to the defense of the very employees who have made it that way. Could this bully, in quotes, be trying to hold people accountable and ultimately improve patient care both in Illinois and now here in Memphis? He could he be the victim of whiny, overpaid, underutilized, deadwood federal government employees? I think so. Having worked with many civil servants in my career, it is usually those who do the least and are very comfortable in their indifference who are the most vocal when they are held accountable. Furthermore, the only mafia-style tactics I experienced were from a group of such employees when they were being disciplined for their slothfulness. There were even threats of violence against those senior leaders who had had enough. The American Federation of Government Employees Union often adds to this mafia dynamic. Having lived through some of this stuff and based on Director Dunning's faith in his deputy director, I think this is exactly what's happening. Nothing in the article makes me think otherwise. Again, truly enjoy the show, especially the cynical commentary and meaningful music. Bravo, Zulu, and well done, says Bob.
Thank you, and that's real smart and perhaps correct. I don't know. You would know more than I since you have been up close to see it, and you're a veteran. The unusual part of the story, and maybe it's how the story is written. Anymore, if you are in search of the truth and what really is going on, which is, it's really hard to tell anymore what is BS and what's the real news. This article and several like it implied that this guy was such a pain in the ass and was so incompetent and such a bully that in lieu of firing him, they sent him to Memphis. So, A, they didn't want to just out, you know, just, you know, fire the guy. Maybe they couldn't. I don't know. But maybe there are sour grapes on the situation that was in Marion, Illinois, where he was supposed to be a real problem. A litany of complaints from various people, employees, and patients, and so on. So he had to get out of there. So they send him here, it seems like, just to get him out of their hair there. Now, you're implying that maybe he's an ass kicker who was sent here to kick asses, and because this place is a joke. Nobody knows the real truth. I'm not there, but it does seem odd. I mean, if, you know, one of us worked here and we're just a complete pain in the ass and we're disruptive and part of the inner mafia of the radio world, whatever that might be, they wouldn't just, you know, send us off someplace. They'd fire us. But maybe this guy is a fixer, as they say. I don't know. But I guess the press has to get details from somebody, and they gleaned the info from Illinois, where this guy was, and we don't know. And I still kind of on the fence of, well, I want to wait and see what happens with this for a few days. But Mr. Denning, I believe his name is, the gentleman who has been put in charge of this, had only glowing things to say about this gentleman. I don't know. But it was an ugly, ugly story. And the point of it is that this operation in Memphis is one of four in America that is so dysfunctional and so screwed up and works so badly that they have had to bring in various people. And yes, some asses need to be kicked. If this dude and the new boss are those to kick said asses, go for it. But there's no clarity on this in some ways, but maybe Bob's right. I don't know. We'll find out.
We will find out.
Yeah, we're not through with this.
This one from Wanda linked the story that's going around about North Korea's Kim and his sex slaves and how he executes musicians with anti-aircraft guns, according to a defector, which is an interesting but way too long read for right now.
Well, would you doubt anything about this guy? Exactly.
He's the type of guy you could say that he has a sex farm with sheep, and it would be believable.
I just wish we could make him go away. But this story isn't over yet. This will either quietly go away due to the China intervention, which has not been powerful enough. Russia seemingly is being kind of submissive about this and not going to get up his ass too much. But China are the ones who haven't done anything. Has this gone beyond being, you know, talked out? Or is this guy going to do something really stupid that ignites World War III and kills a lot of people in South Korea, among them many Americans? This is a bad scene, and somebody better get a grip on this dude and calm him down or make him pass away in his sleep or something. Who knows?
This one from Paul says, first time I visited the Bass Pro Shop at the Pyramid and saw the hotel looming over the store, I thought, what's to prevent someone from rappelling down to the floor after hours and helping themselves to whatever they wanted? I guess someone else was thinking the exact same way. And he links a story that someone was caught on video stealing stuff from the Bass Pro Shop after hours.
Yep.
And they don't know how he got in there, and they don't know how he left.
Well, now, they had some video last week, and I only saw this story one time. But the video, and there are two Bass Pro Shops now in this town.
Right.
There's one downtown. That's the big, gigantic eighth wonder of the world. And then there's the one out yonder way. Some young brother had come in the back door. It was unlocked.
Oh, yeah.
And he got in the back door. The video only showed him to that point, but he got to the gun area and got a bunch of guns and bailed. So, and he has yet to be found. But that story kind of went, was here and gone quickly. I had no idea if it was downtown or if it was out east, but he got in the back door that was unlocked, got some guns, and split. So I have no idea, but we might find out from somebody sometime. Right. Who knows?
And Marcia wrote this in saying, I saw this article and immediately thought of Drake Hall. It's a long article by Ron Hart. And it basically goes over the overuse of like, literally, and amazing.
Like, thanks.
And
says, literally amazing.
If you use any of this too much, you can join a literary society called Americans Who Figuratively Use Literally, or awful.
Well, we all do. We all have little words that we go to when we get a loss for words or... But the overuse of like and, you know, and amazing, and it's just part of the culture. And they finally will bleed themselves out. But the other night at the Emmys, there were a couple of these people that were going off script. And this one guy must have said like every third word. They just can't put a sentence together without having to go to slang of some kind or some kind of a crutch word to make their way through it. Everyone does it in conversation because you get lost for words or your mind stops working, and so you like go like, well, like, you know. But there's an epidemic. The bit with literally it's been made fun of so much, it seems to have quieted down a little bit. But still, people don't have any idea how to use the word. Literally means that it really happened. I literally just shot Wes in the face. Well, then he'd be dead. But if it were a, you know, metaphor or a joke literally means it happened. Figuratively means it didn't happen, but we'd like for it to, or something.
Oh, you'd like to shoot me in the face. Thanks.
Right. No. But what did Trump say? No, it wasn't Trump. It was... what was the recent quote that was so popularized the past couple of days? Somebody literally did something, and no, it wasn't literal, but nobody calls them on it because people can't spell, they can't use contractions, and they still get confused by there, and there, and your, and it's just the way it is. People are too busy texting; they don't care about it. Emojis and you know the shortening of words saves time, and so you end up with generations of children that can't spell or communicate, and that's just the way it is. And all of us, all people can bitch about it, but it ain't gonna change nothing, literally.
And we've got a few in for Lawyer Bill. If you have a question for Lawyer Bill, go ahead and send that in. mail@drakeinthemorning.com is the email address, or if you've got anything else you want us to get to at some point or the other as well.
Knock yourself out. The Sleep Number bed is a beautiful thing. They have this brand new bed out there that sounds very interesting. The Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. They will show you how this thing, how this adjusts to you as you sleep. And it's only at their stores. They have stores called Sleep Number stores. They aren't at any kind of bed store besides their own. Wolf Chase, South Haven, and Saddle Creek. This thing will sense your every move at night, automatically adjust, so you sleep comfortably throughout the evening. It also has this little foot thing that warms up your feet and helps you sleep better. And with cold weather coming on at some point, that'd be a pretty nice touch. People that try these beds, they never go back to anything else, and they have sales all the time. They have great pillows and other things to accompany these fine beds. So right now you can go out there and check out what they have to offer. My number is 100. It has been at our house for a long time on both sides of the bed. Nice king-size bed, room for two people and as many animals as you can cram in there. So try it out and see how you like it. I'm sure you'll be pleased and we'll get one. Come in now and enjoy some savings. Up to $400 off of the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. Find your nearest store at sleepnumber.com, and you will enjoy it, and good luck with that. Here is our favorite new song, or my favorite new song. This guy is just so good. This is, well, if Bob Marley and Jimmy Buffett had a kid, it'd be Jack Johnson. And this song is great. It's called My Mind Is For Sale.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
Phones are open for Ask Lawyer Bill, 535-9898. Wes has the headset on, ready to take your call and line you up for Bill. In a matter of moments, he'll be here. Sid has the emails, mail@drakeinthemorning.com. So send them in right now. Call 535-9898. We'll set you up. One more chance today to win some tickets for the Avett Brothers show tomorrow night. When you hear them, you call and we'll give you those too. In the meantime, some dumbasses first to make you feel better about yourself. This guy, we had some people that are impatient and ADHD, I'm not sure what else would involve this, hate waiting in lines. I'm a bad wait in line person. I can't stand it. No patience at all, that's just my problem. But I have never done this yet, but there's still time. This boy went to the bank. This was in England someplace. He's seen on camera going into the bank, a 22-year-old fellow. He calmly entered the bank. I guess he'd been there for a bit, and he split. And then he came back. And he can be seen on camera walking into the Commonwealth Bank and pouring gas out of a container in the doorway. Then he bent down and lit the fuel that was pooling around his feet using a lighter from his pocket, which then sparks a large fire engulfing his entire body. Thick black smoke fills up in the bank as the fire continues to spread, causing customers to panic and flee. This fire that he started destroyed this building, $2.5 million worth, and injured 33 people, some children among them. This idiot spent 4 months in the jail, burnt over the majority of his body, but he didn't die, unfortunately. He said he did not intend to hurt anyone. Well, you did, and so he had to go to court after he got out of being burnt up. He had 108 charges in total. Arson, property damage, that's just the beginning of it. And he told the court, quote, he was just angry at being kept waiting. So he set himself on fire, and he wanted to get some money out of the bank, but he got mad because he had to wait, and he burned the place down. I guess that's one way to go about being mad. I don't know. This guy, I don't know what's wrong with him, but today everybody has an idea, and then they have an idea, and they want to go online and get people like you and me to give them money to fund their ideas. The majority of them are stupid and never go anywhere, and people have overused this GoFundMe thing. It's used sometimes for good causes and good reasons, but the majority of them are these kind of morons. This guy is off to a bad start just based upon his name. His name is Albert Pukies. Not a very attractive last name.
No.
He's from the Pukies of London. Long family line there. He's an artist, you see, and he has a line of fanny packs, which I guess have gone out of style.
Let's hope. For God's sake.
You always see, though, when you go to Florida or someplace, all these old dudes wearing plaid shorts and their fanny pack because they've gotten to an age where they don't care about being fashionable and don't care what you think. They want to be carrying around their stuff, and that's how they do it. So, you know, it's up to the individual person. Mr. Pukies has a line of fanny packs he calls dad bags. The fanny packs look like a man's pudgy, hairy belly. That's not good on the face of it. And Mr. Pukies said he got the idea a few years ago when the dad bod became a thing. Whatever that means. when you get older, your body changes, and everybody tries to maintain some sense of being attractive, and then some just completely give up. And at some point, I think everybody does give up. Look around you. The dad bags come in several different styles, and Mr. Pukies says they can carry typical dad items like beer, sunglasses, and headphones. Unfortunately, you can't buy one yet because nobody will give him any money for it.
Thank God.
So he may try crowdfunding. Mr. Pukies, why don't you just go away and do something productive? And this quick one, WISN-TV in Milwaukee says that police arrested a man for going into a Walmart wearing only a diaper and a gorilla mask. That's pretty hot. Shoppers filmed the man as he grabbed bananas from a display and then tried to leave the store. Security detained him before the police arrived and charged him with, well, being insane and wearing a diaper and being in a store trying to rip off bananas. 535-9898, quick song, Lawyer Bill next. Get your calls in, 535-9898, about anything that is involving legalities that you can't handle. It's free advice, and or email mail at drakeinthemorning.com. Lawyer Bill's next.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.